You're listening to the Catholic Vitamins podcast with Deacon Tom and Dee. My name is Father Simon Lobel. I'm the chaplain at Wayne State University in Detroit, Michigan. I'm a member of the Companions of the Cross, a young community of priests focused on evangelization, sharing Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you've been considering a call to the priesthood or would like to know more. Please visit our website at www.companionscross.org. Again, www.companionscross.org.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
I'm back in the saddle again.
Hi, really?
Dee. Well, we've been gone so long, it feels like we're... Welcome back, Dee. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back. Happy to be back where it's warmer.
I know. It's a gorgeous day today as we start preparing our podcast, and we are about a week overdue from our regular schedule. It wasn't planned. We were thinking that we were going to be a day or two late, but then just one thing after another, and
we kind of have to go with the flow sometimes.
I know, we do.
So I spent a week in Missouri,
mm-hmm.
where it was really frigid, cold. I mean, they called school off for several days. But then I came home thinking I was going to get here warmer. And it was warmer when I got off the plane in Phoenix, but it was pretty chilly up here.
Yeah, I think there was some dampness in the air, so it felt sort of Midwest or whatever.
But yesterday, the temperature started to rise and warm again, so I'm happy.
Why don't we tell people what show this is and what the vitamin is and all that kind of front-end stuff?
Do you think they need to know?
Well, they're paying our rent. I mean,
Catholic Vitamin O. David Macnack, are you listening? It's opposition. Oh, opposition.
Now, what kind of show could it be when we're endorsing the Catholic faith and everything that the church teaches and we use the word opposition? What's that about?
I don't know. You're going to explain it later.
Okay. All right. We'll do that.
This is episode 217. And the featured guest is...
Well...
A deacon, I know.
We couldn't get a high-paying guest to come in, so or a highly paid guest to come in.
So you're going to record your homily?
I have recorded the homily for...
And you're going to use that in this podcast?
Yes, and a part of it is because there's a little bit of opposition in it, and I wonder if any listener will pick up the way that there's a little bit of opposition in this. I'll just say that it is the homily that I recorded at the parish for the presentation of the Lord, which is now 2 weeks past, but
it's one week past.
All right. Okay. But there is a little bit that has to do with negativity or opposition in it. And I'd love to hear from any listeners that can pick that up. Meanwhile, we do have Justin with us for this show. We have Mariana, our two correspondents from the upper Midwest. And Fergal is doing some baptisms this weekend, and he said that he is, yeah, you got a smile on your face. Isn't that neat?
Yes. I mean, we hate to not have him, but I just think it's wonderful that he's just getting into all this deacon duty stuff that he now has to do. It's great.
And I know with his personality and his love of the Lord that he will endear the parents and the godparents and enjoy being with the baby. And, of course, they have, what is it, 5 children of their own? Or six.
Six. Mm-hmm. So last weekend while I was in Missouri,
yes,
it was Super Bowl Sunday. And I actually took the kids, the two kids I was, grandkids I was sitting with, that I took them to a family-oriented Super Bowl party.
Oh, okay.
And I can remember about, oh, maybe even just a half an hour or so into the game. Maybe an hour. I walked through the room where a lot of the parents were sitting watching the game on the TV screen up on the wall, and I said, I am not happy with this game.
Well, I'll tell you a sort of related story. In the homily, I can't remember if I said this or not in this particular one that I recorded, but at a couple of the masses that I preached, I said to people, I have orange on underneath my alb. I actually pulled the sleeve up so they could see my orange. And I said this was going to be a Broncos super day. Well, I'm not sure if anybody pays attention to my preaching or not, but young Isaac, a sweet boy, who is, what would you say he is, about 7 or 8?
No, he's probably about 9.
Okay.
8 or 9.
He heard me talking about my love for the Broncos at the beginning of whatever mass I did this at. And later in the day, his parents were watching the Super Bowl, and he came to his dad and he said, I'm worried about Deacon Tom. He's not going to be happy at all.
And then the next morning, you said you were in the coffee shop?
Yeah.
And the father came in?
Yeah, that's how I found out about this, right? Yeah. Well, it came up again that family was at the 11 o'clock mass this morning, and they came out and they were talking about the Broncos game and that they had been very concerned about Deacon Tom not being happy. Well, I think a lot of Broncos were not very happy, including their quarterback. What a game that was. Well, listen, we have more prattle items, Dee. We have more things to share, but we have things that we're ready to do. So why don't we get started and we'll come back and do Prattle 2 and Prattle 3 or something.
Okay. This is journalist Mariana Bartholomew with a missionary moment. I've been away from words for the past week because I'm recovering from a concussion from a car accident. I'm so grateful that the accident on that cold, wintry night wasn't any more serious. But I'm just now getting back to email, etc., and I received a blog post from a friend who shares her spiritual reflections. This one caught my attention because she told how when her mother died, she held on to a few of her mother's blouses for the memories and received her mother's newer washer and dryer to replace her older ones. Friends warned her that she was building up treasures here on earth. She agreed that we must avoid building up shrines in our lives. Now, this lady is not Catholic, and I found myself reflecting on her letter all day. I felt that what she received from her friends was well-meaning, but not uplift in her time of need. It was a sort of opposition that must have been very trying. As Catholics, we too receive judgment and opposition regarding this idea of building shrines here on earth. Non-Catholics sometimes misunderstand our use of material goods. I've stayed with missionaries all over the country, and even amidst extreme poverty and simplicity, I've seen them create little havens of comfort and beauty. It could be as simple as a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus or the Immaculate Heart of Mary, with pretty flowers placed underneath. Our hearts yearn for beauty, and the loveliness in our hearts overflows into creating little shrines that sometimes our non-Catholic brothers and sisters might oppose. So here was my best attempt in my concussive state to reply to my friend. I accompanied the letter with a photo of two beautiful swans on a pond, their necks curving and their bills touching to form a heart. A striking image. Dear friend, today I found myself thinking about your letter and how your friends gave you a hard time for cherishing your mother's things. It was hard for me to understand the response, because I just see those things as a loving gift from your Heavenly Father, who is so much more generous with us than we are with each other. I'm so happy you were able to receive some things of your mom's and found comfort in those things. God made us that way, and if those things soothed your heart, I truly believe that they were God's warm and loving gift to you at the time. I understand your point about not building up treasures here on earth, but God gave us eyes for seeing, hands for touching. We are tactile people. I come from a faith where we use all the senses in worship, incense to symbolize our prayers reaching up toward heaven, and it smells so good. Images on the walls and stained glass to teach Bible stories and lives of the saints without uttering a word, and these things uplift the spirit. Vestments embroidered with lovely and meaningful designs to celebrate the solemnity and beauty of the Eucharist and the Mass. So God, who gave us such beauty in creation, calls us to appreciate the lovely things around us. Rightly used, these things are good. So I understand you're keeping a blouse or two of your mom's and thanking and praising God each time you use that washer and dryer. There's a story of St. Therese of Lisieux, who was a nun in a convent in the 1800s. In her little cell was a vase she loved, and she gave it away as a sacrifice to God. She didn't want too much of an attachment to anything. So I understand your remarks about treasures and shrines, etc. But at the same time, we Catholics are famous for our shrines. It's like when you're a little child and create a pretty picture for your mom or dad. We love God so much, we create a pretty spot for him in our homes, put our Bibles there on a nice cloth with candles, have a statue of God's gift to us, his son, and also the Blessed Mother. Not because we worship her, but because having her there is just like having a photo of our beloved mom on our mantle. And then because we believe the Blessed Mother prays for us, even now from heaven, that she joins her prayers with ours, we say, "Please, Mary, pray with us." And that way she becomes part of our family, just like the angels and saints are part of our family. With God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, foremost and divine, of course. Also, when I go to church, I love to see that people have turned their creativity to make a lovely spot in which to worship the Lord. And it all seems very natural, good, and uplifting. The Lord who made things as lovely as swans calls us to beauty, and I can't help but think your friends were being well-meaning but a little harsh. God is so lovely, warm, and sweet, as well as majestic and all-powerful. I'm just glad he gave us all our senses and the ability to appreciate lovely things and to thank and praise him each moment. So that's what I wrote, and I'm so grateful for the Catholic perspective that allows us to use and appreciate all lovely things in right order, prudentially. When we receive opposition from non-Catholics who don't understand, we can use that as an opportunity to invite them into beauty.
Mariana, you absolutely nailed what was on my heart about this Catholic vitamin. There are people that are going to oppose us or oppose our beliefs. They may be well-meaning, but we need to have a positive way of interpreting their thoughts and being able to reply back gently with love, but have a defense against the opposition that we face in this world.
I picked something out of that reflection when she was talking about her friend who kept some article of clothing from her mother who had passed away.
Right, right.
It immediately made me think, as I was listening to that, about your brother who passed away in 1990. And I kept a flannel shirt of his.
Mm-hmm.
And I used that as my hiking shirt. I wore that every week when I went hiking, starting in Colorado and then here in Arizona.
Right.
Until finally, it was like falling apart.
Threadbare.
It was threadbare and coming apart, and I had to get rid of it. That was a sad day for me because that was 23 years that I was hung on to that shirt.
I remember.
And I also remember that either the first or the second Christmas after he passed, I found a little ornament. It was musical notes. And I bought that little wooden ornament and always hung that in a prominent place on our tree where we'd see it, and that would remind us of him because he had an ear for music.
He played the piano and was actually growing in popularity quite a bit back in Detroit, on the east side of Detroit, was playing in different nightclubs and places.
And then one Christmas when your mother came to visit us, I don't remember where we were living at the time, in 1988. Where were we in 1988?
Well, whatever.
I think it was Colorado, first time we lived in Colorado. And she got off the plane carrying a white, furry, soft Christmas teddy bear.
Oh, I remember that.
And
yeah.
I remember it was 1988 because it was embroidered in the hat on the bear.
Oh, yeah.
And we have kept that. I keep it wrapped up all year long, and I bring it out at Christmas time. It reminds me of her.
I remember singing Hello, Dolly. You remember? Yeah. She used to like that.
She used to sing that to our daughters.
May God grant rest and peace and joy to my mom and my brother, Eddie.
Thank heavens for our memories.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, dear, that was a great reflection from Mariana. We're very blessed to have her. We want to pray for her recovery from her accident and haven't heard in some days how she's doing, but I hope it's better.
Before we go off to something else, I want to welcome three new members to our Catholic Vitamins Facebook page. Timothy Branson II.
All right, we know who he is. Yay.
Carrie Whaley.
We know who she is.
And Christina, and I'm not going to butcher her last name because I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's G-U-B-I-E-Z-A.
Gubiza? Gubiza?
I don't know. I'm not going to try to.
Okay, well, whatever. I said that she was Irish and she took offense at that.
Timothy, Carrie, and Christina, welcome.
Thank you for being friend of Catholic Vitamins. And I think that sometimes, we don't always achieve it, but sometimes we find that we bring a show to you which is electrifying. And if you wonder what I mean, just listen.
Dugan Ultim. Hi, this is Justin Stroh, and welcome to this new evangelization. Recently, I had the opportunity to give a teaching at the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Teaching Conference in Minnesota. So today, I'd like to share with you a brief clip of the talk I gave, which was on the gift of worship. The song featured here is an original called Psalm 100.
Now, just think about this for a moment. Our Lord, when He created us, He created us on the sixth day, but He did not create us for that day. He created us for the seventh day, and that seventh day is the day of completion in God, the Sabbath. So when we praise God, what we're doing is we're actually actuating that reality that we are created for. And all things that are slouching due to the fall are called back to order because we are the crown of God's creation. And He has created us to call everything back to Him. Alleluia. With your heart now. Alleluia. That's the will. Alleluia. We choose You, Lord. Harmony and cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth, and serve your Lord with gladness, and come before Him singing for joy. Alleluia. Alleluia. Now I want to invite you to think about one specific person in your life who you know is far from God. If you're not sure who it is, just take a moment, allow the name to be introduced into your memory. Okay, so let's sing this again for that person. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Alleluia. We praise You, Lord. Alleluia. Alleluia. We cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve your Lord with gladness, and come before Him singing for joy. Alleluia.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
You know, we live in a sense, in a way where we have an image of a person when we know them from one dimension. Those of you who've been with Catholic Vitamins for a while have heard Justin Stroh sharing his reflections, his new evangelization podcast segments. But this was a chance to listen to him when he's in concert and in a teaching environment. Yeah, thank you, Dee. And to actually not have to attend that conference, but to get a sense of the work that Justin Stroh does outside of our TNEP segments on Catholic Vitamins. So we're very blessed that he did that. We thank Justin for providing that clip.
Well, his talk reminded me of the notes we have here about prayer intentions. We've mentioned this before, asking people for their prayer intentions or just talking to them about praying for others.
We like being able to share in your needs or desires or your situations, whether we do it mentioning names or anonymously. Dee, I have a brief story to tell you. You know I've been going to the local care center where a lot of people are there for reasons of age or recovery from late-age illness or operations. And there is a woman that I have passed in the halls, I would have to guess, 100 times. And, you know, you do this sort of paper wave or you say hello or whatever. This woman came up very recently and asked me to pray. She gave me a person's first name, and there was a health situation. I was so touched because I didn't even know if she was Catholic. She called me Father, of course, seeing me in clerics. But it was an honor to be able to collect her intention. And then shortly after, I was asking her how things were, and she said they were much better. So I was glad to share in that.
And we were just out with a friend for breakfast the other morning who, at the end of our breakfast, we were talking about people who need prayers, and he was asking us to pray for a couple of his family members. Yeah. It just happens all the time.
This daughter of his has had some very curious and unsettling
health issues,
including some abdominal distress, and the doctors weren't able to find a reason for it. So we were in prayer for Peg, and maybe if any listeners are hearing this and are in a situation where they could just say, Jesus, mercy, do something like that for Peg. What? No.
Megan.
Oh, well, Peg was on the list too for a different reason.
Yes.
All right. Megan. Thank you, Dee. All right. Anything else?
Did you want to mention anything about your Bible study, your ongoing Bible study?
I think we mentioned this in a prior show, but I'm doing a 6-week Acts of the Apostles Bible study over at the parish, sort of at the request of the pastor. And we've had roughly 30 to 40 people regularly showing up for it. Very good participation. And it's something that I enjoy doing. It adds to a workload that I already seem to have enough of. But thank you. And you missed one, but you're going to join us this coming.
I missed one. And I also missed, the day I left that evening was the installation mass with the bishop for our new pastor.
Oh.
You told me that it was just beautiful.
It really was. Father Ed Lucero is our pastor. He's been with us now about 8 months, but sometime after 6 months, at the bishop's decision, he will choose to install him, moving him from sort of a temporary status to the permanent position of pastor. And so we had, I think it was 5 other priests, the bishop, 2 deacons. One came with the bishop, a deacon that is. And we had a beautiful mass, just very, very beautiful mass, good music. And then we had an awesome reception over at the parish hall. And I think I mentioned this in the homily, so that maybe the people will understand when they hear the reference to this, why I made such a fuss about it. And there's a restaurateur named Gerardo in town who has a very fine Italian restaurant. He's classically trained in Italy. So for our small town, it's a real treat to have Gerardo's restaurant. And he provided the food for gratis.
He's very generous for charities throughout our parish family and the town. And he does a lot for our church, too.
Right. Well, so since we're speaking about the topic of the homily, may I ask your indulgence, dear listeners? We'll put in the sermon that I did for February 2nd, the presentation of the Lord, and we'll be back after that. So I wonder how many of you were here Thursday evening
when we had the bishop and all the priests and the beautiful installation ceremony for Father Lucero, and then the magnificent dinner afterwards. How many of you were here? Oh, wonderful. Oh, wonderful. I think my heart was so touched by this event that I'm going to start a petition to the bishop. And I'd like your signatures on this. I'd like to install Father Lucero every month. What do you think? I don't know what Gerardo's going to do. He'd probably go broke trying to feed us all. It was a wonderful evening and a very holy and unifying evening. Okay, my book is completely upside down. Yikes. Oh, there's my homily. Oh, I wonder how many of you remember the book Roots. I know it's been a long time since it was popular. I remember reading Roots, and I found it so riveting. When he was a boy in Tennessee, Alex Haley's grandmother told him stories, stories that used to go back to her grandmother. So this was generations back, and this was about times in Africa. And it is said that the stories that Alex Haley heard led him to compose the fictional account of Kunta Kinte. You remember his name? Who was raised in, or started to be raised in Africa and then came to America. And it was quite the journey story. But the reason that I mentioned it tonight is because one passage has stayed with me. I don't remember much now about the life of Kunta Kinte, but one thing I remember, his father was named Omoro. And Omoro came out one starry night, and he lifted Kunta, his infant child, and he said, "Kunta Kinte, behold the only thing greater than you." It's in us. It's in our hearts, our minds, and souls that there's a God that we give thanks to for the gift of the birth of children. This has really stuck with me. And today we mark the feast of the presentation of the Lord, 40 days after he was born. And I wonder if you knew that there was a Jewish practice about the male child. I've shared with you over various homilies that Scripture is rich with many levels of learning and teaching. And sometimes we catch it one time with one meaning, and another time it'll mean something different, a different layer is presented to us. Did you know that according to the law, Mary and Joseph were required to take Jesus to the temple and redeem him by paying 5 shekels. And there was another practice. The law required the child's mother to offer sacrifice to overcome the ritual impurity that was associated with her childbirth, the bleeding and the opening of the womb. So the Feast of the Presentation that we celebrate today shows us a very curious turn of events. Our Redeemer had to be redeemed. And she who was all pure presents herself to be purified. Such is the humility of God, of Jesus. Such is the humility of his mother Mary, to submit to the law that neither one of them were bound by. And this teaching tonight challenges us. Who sitting here or standing here tonight has that sort of willingness to submit to the church? Take that as lesson number one for this weekend. The drama surrounding Jesus' conception and birth began in the temple when the archangel visited Mary's kinsman, Zechariah, the priest. And now the story of Jesus' infancy comes to a fitting conclusion again in the temple. All the readings, tonight's Mass, concern Jerusalem, the temple, and the sacrificial rites. The first reading comes from the prophet Malachi. He calls the priests to return to faithful service and foretold a day when a Messiah would arrive with a purification of the priesthood. I have a memory to share with you. Many years ago, I was riding in rural Pennsylvania, and I was listening to an AM radio station. The program was one in which a Protestant preacher was railing against those churches that have priests. You can just guess what church he was talking about. The radio preacher said that Christ was our priest, the high priest, and there was no need for priests, since we're all priests. Well, in a way, he had it partially correct. Each of us, by our baptism, is anointed and dedicated as priest, prophet, and king. But the radio preacher was completely off base. If he had studied the Acts of the Apostles and the early church fathers, he would realize that the church, the new church of Christ, the ancient Jewish church, always had priests, always. Priests to collect our prayers and offer liturgical and actual sacrifices on our behalf. Consider this as an infant, the boy who later becomes a priest, was baptized and offered to the Father, just as Jesus was offered in baptism by John the Baptist. And so each of us Christians were dedicated and offered back to God in the sacrament called baptism. As a deacon, I've often thought of raising the infant child up that I'm going to baptize, raising the child to the heavens, as in that book, Roots. Just as Jesus, the God-man, was raised by the priest in the presentation ceremony in the temple, Christ arrived, the messianic Savior came to earth, and entered the ordinary time of mankind. And now, in these Sunday readings, or daily Mass readings, as time unfolds, Scripture will inform us that Jesus will be doing signs, great signs, to demonstrate that he is the long-awaited Messiah. And in his work that unfolds for us, Scripture will tell us that Christ founded a church, and the messianic work of the Savior is continued through his church, through bishops and priests. Through the church, Christ continues to sanctify and govern. Christ continues to provide awesome signs through the church. Ordinary bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Christ. We have our sins forgiven. The gift of the anointing of the sick. These are messianic powers given to the church for the people of God in the church. I preached about this on and off over the years. Tonight it's fulfilled. The preacher has heard his own preaching. This is my certificate of baptism. Now, some of you may wonder why it's not on a papyrus roll. I'm not that old. But what I've said is that this is the proof, the actual proof, that I have been baptized into the family of Christ. And there's information on it about the priest who baptized me, God rest his soul, likely, about my godparents who are deceased, God rest their souls. What I have recommended to people is that you find a copy of your baptismal certificate, bring it out, and on your calendar, mark down the anniversary date of your baptism. And on that day, go to daily Mass, if it falls during the week. Have a Mass said for your parents and godparents, living or deceased. Renew your baptismal promises on that day. Then bake a cake or buy one, and put in candles which mark the number of years which you've been baptized. You know, the early Christians had a great understanding of the power of baptism. In early times, baptized Christians would gather in an area as real prayer warriors. They would assemble in prayer, and they could drive out demons from temples and areas where there were evil spirits. You have that same power by virtue of your baptism. Saint Teresa of Avila was likely one of the holiest women, other than Blessed Virgin Mary, to ever be on the earth. And the devil used to appear to her, mostly at night, and frighten her. He would show her grotesque images that really frightened her. But then Christ appeared to Saint Teresa and told her that by the power of her baptism, she could challenge Satan. And she did so, and she was never frightened anymore. Abby Johnson used to be the manager of a very large abortion clinic in Texas. In her book, Unplanned, she said that the abortion workers inside used to scoff and laugh at the people that were praying outside the abortion clinics. She is now a powerful pro-life advocate for an end to abortion in America. Something about the prayers outside caused her to change. Something got to her. She gave up doing the evil of Planned Parenthood, and she's now an on-fire Christian. Last I heard, headed towards the Catholic Church. I'll close with a couple things. A number of priests went to the Chicago Archdiocese for a very intensive 5-day training session on deliverance ministry. But what also came out in this training for the priests in Chicago was that they were told to teach, to form, and to remind the laity about the great power that they have by virtue of their baptism. You have great power if you understand the homily tonight and understand the power of baptism in your life. If you receive the Eucharist worthily, no stain of mortal sin or serious dissension from the teachings of the church, if you're praying the rosary and going to confession, you multiply the power you have from baptism. One of the 7 gifts you received from baptism includes fortitude. You and I need to have no fear of evil if we enliven and rejuvenate the gifts and graces we received at baptism. Today we celebrate. Christ the God-man is presented back to the Creator, just as you were, just as I was. You can be powerful in the fight against evil in the world. In the words of O Moro, behold, the only thing greater than you is God, and a part of his power has been given to you in baptism.
Come, Holy Spirit, let us be your living witness. Pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, make me a living witness. Come, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free. Thank you, God, for all you've done in us. Let us share this with others. Come, Holy Spirit of God. Let us be your witnesses. Let us proclaim your goodness to our friends. Come, Holy Spirit.
Tell the world that Jesus lives. Tell the world that, tell the world that, tell the world that he died for them. Tell the world that he lives again. Tell the world that Jesus lives. Tell the world that, tell the world that, tell the world that he died for them.
Well, there's a snippet, a little bit of Bob Rice with his song Tell the World. And that's from his album, You Came to Me, recorded live at Franciscan University. And you can find his music and his blog and a lot more about Bob Rice, who's an author and a professor at Franciscan University. You can find out more about him by going to bob-rice, bob-rice.com. And I wonder, did you pick up anything that was about the topic opposition in the homily that I included? thank you for listening to that patiently. And mostly Catholic Vitamins is about the guest we bring you, but every once in a while we do a little homily. Well, speaking of snippets, we have been in touch with Patrick Madrid, and I told him we were helping to promote the Apologetics Academies, which he's holding around the country. We attended the one in Mesa down in Arizona, and there are more scheduled around the country. And I'll tell you what I did. During a break, this was after a regular session, I just walked up with the microphone turned on, and I recorded a little bit of Jim Burnham talking with a few people that were standing next to him. There's no specific topic in this, but I just thought you might like to listen to what you can get in terms of just even a break at an apologetics academy, at an apologetics academy.
If you begin evangelizing without having some background, some apologetic background to be able to answer the questions that you know are going to come up.
Yeah.
You're going to get questions about Mary and the Pope and confession and statues. You're going to get those questions. It's like Radio Shack, right? You've got questions, we've got answers. If they've got questions, we better have some answers. Good answers, scriptural answers. Otherwise, they're going to look at us and go, well, how good can your product be? You can't even answer simple questions about it.
I'm going to start applying in a little bit in my baptism group. I don't want to go out to Mariner's Church and start doing what you do. So I think I start practicing
start in
my baptism.
Become a catechist and start teach 9th or 10th grade CCD.
Yeah.
This is the perfect age for kids. They already have tons of questions. They're asking questions of, does God really exist? How do I know Jesus was divine? Did he really rise from the dead? They're asking basic apologetic questions.
Yeah.
Foundational questions. So that's okay, tap into that. See, that's a great question. Let's look it up. Let's go over the proofs for the existence of God. Let's go over the proofs that Jesus rose from the dead. Let's go over the proofs that the Catholic Church is Christ's church. It has the historical continuity and the doctrinal continuity and the continuity of apostolic succession. Let's go over that. Because then, instead of just having questions and feeling maybe guilty of having the questions, the kids go home and go, wow. There are answers.
Now there's more questions that keep
right. But
start
they know
coming up.
They have a certain confidence that there can be answers, that these questions can be answered, that their church is not, you know, just a fairy tale or a fiction, but it is grounded in scripture and rooted in history. And for 2,000 years, it's been around, you know, preaching and teaching and sanctifying, answering these same kinds of questions. And if you just give kids that, just... That's what helped me in my own faith. My dad told me, listen, the Catholic Church is Christ's church. Therefore, it's the true church. And you can never prove the truth wrong. Right? If it's true, you can never prove the truth wrong. So when I started getting questions about my faith, I thought, well, let me see. Dad said the Catholic Church is Christ's church, and the true church can't be wrong. Therefore, there must be an answer. So how do I answer this question, call no man father? How do I answer this question?
Yeah, that's another one.
Jesus is the one mediator. How do I answer this question, where the heck is purgatory? Because I don't see the word. Okay? Went back and I started to study. And as I studied, I said, oh, there are great scriptural, historical answers to these questions. And that gave me a tremendous confidence that my Catholic Church wasn't a fiction. It wasn't just something my parents told me to believe in, but it was the true Church of Christ.
Well, excuse the noisy ambient level going on there, but as I said, it was during a break session, some students, classmates went up and they were talking to Jim Burnham, and he was just exhorting them, there are answers, there are answers. And it just pumps you up, and I just really recommend the Apologetics Academy when one comes near you. Although I have to tell you, we were in Mesa, Arizona, down in the Phoenix Valley, and there were people that from Alaska and lots of other places that came and participated in this academy, dear.
You didn't tell me that there were people from all those places.
Oh, yeah, Hawaii. It was really great, really, really great.
Well, and they're having these all over the country, right?
They are, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you remember our last show was Vitamin N for Naughty, N-O-D-D-Y.
I'm glad you spelled it again. Yes, yes.
Well, Don Barry up in Canada, he Twittered, Dick and Tom, I always thought Naughty was that little children's character from England.
Oh.
LOL. And we did not have a correct guess.
I'm not surprised.
For this one. But that didn't stop David Macnack from trying. as he usually does.
I'm not sure, but what, he gets a little too much coffee or something.
So he tried occupation.
For this vitamin O, Catholic vitamin O.
Ordination.
Well, that would have been a reasonable guess.
Obligation.
That would have been a reasonable guess, too. But it both, all three of those, wrong.
Wrong. Doing. Where's it wrong?
I don't know. I'll get one.
But David, you know we love it when you take guesses. We want people to do that.
Sure.
Wrong or not, we want to hear what you think it might be.
And we're going to give you the opportunity here in a minute to guess what the next vitamin is. I don't know if Dee, I think you had one other topic you wanted to talk a little bit about.
I do. I have one topic to really talk about, but I also wanted to mention that Sarah Watson posted this on Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page, so anybody can go there to read in length about this. But she wanted to let us know about a couple, a young couple who were on the Good Morning America show.
Mm-hmm.
They had a week where they were running a feature called Epic Wedding Showdown, and so these couples were competing to
get
on the show and have their wedding on Valentine's Day. And this couple from her hometown and that attend her parents' church are going to be the couple.
Oh.
So I said, there's more to read about that if you want to go to Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page and see Sarah's post.
And so the plug is to what? Go to that show on Friday morning.
And Valentine's Day, yeah.
She doesn't say what the timing is. So you'll have to record the whole Good Morning America thing. And
right.
All right, what else do you have, Dee?
Well, we heard from somebody who asked us if we would put a little plug out for the Catholic Relief Services Rice Bowl app.
App.
They're
APP.
Putting
it.
Yes.
Okay.
And just a little background. CRS Rice Bowl is a 39-year-old Lenten program known for colorful cardboard rice bowls used by generations of Catholics each Lent. They are making the leap to mobile devices today, and they released this on February 5th. With the introduction of its first app. So they want people to go check that out. And we're going to put a link on our blog page or on the podcast.
The main page for the show.
But you can go to crsricebowl.org/app to find out all about it.
That came to us from Susan Gosling Walsh.
No, it didn't come from her. This is somebody you can contact. But the person who sent it to us is, where is it? Miss Melissa Stevens, she's a web producer.
Okay, well, thank you for that. And thank you for thinking of Catholic Vitamins. We have, for years and years, been involved in the Rice Bowl Project up in Colorado, in Estes Park. Our parish did it there. We do it here in Arizona, and we're very glad to support that project for Catholic Relief Services. And I'm going to download the CRS app for the Rice Bowl Project, Dee. Are we ready to start a wrap-up?
We can do Vita Scrabble.
Okay.
By the way, do you have a Vita Minute?
I'll make something up.
When in doubt, just make it up.
Yes.
Okay. Our next vitamin will be Catholic vitamin P, ends in T, 7 letters.
Catholic vitamin
P. As in Paul.
Uh-huh.
Ends in T. 7 letters long.
The Vitaminute is, send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com, catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
Take a guess. Take several guesses, like David did.
Yes. And Dee, we are going to, we opened the show with Father Simon Lobo doing a promo for Catholic Vitamins. I was so pleased that he did that. And just as sort of a slight tease, we might have somebody who's related to him on an upcoming show.
We might.
Maybe even the next show. Who knows?
Maybe.
And if that helps you a little bit with the vitamin, you'd have had to have been a 3 or 4 show listener to Catholic Vitamins. And I guess the Vitaminute is that I went to confession yesterday down in the valley and I did some shopping. And that once again, I was reminded of God's mercy. And the words of the priest in the confessional were, when you fall, get up and start again. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. So there you go. That's a Vitaminute from the deacon and from the priest who heard my confession.
We haven't done this in a long time, but we still have some Eucharist bumper stickers, don't we?
Oh, we do. Thanks for bringing that up. Yes, that's a good idea.
So if anybody would like that, what's the exact wording? I don't have one here in front of me.
The Eucharist, Christ's real presence.
So if anybody would like a bumper sticker for their car that talk about the Eucharist being the real presence, just email us at catholicvitamins@gmail.com. Give us your name and your mailing address, and we'll send you one.
Yeah. Now listen, some famous people have these on their car. Tom and Dee. Who else? Oh, Carrie back east. The blogger, Carrie Donaldson.
Yes, yes.
She was also a previous guest on Catholic Vitamins.
Well, you know, just recently, yesterday morning, you and I were at breakfast at a local cafe.
Yes.
And two ladies came in. They were from our parish. And they came in and they saw us sitting over the corner. And the corporate says, we saw this car out in the parking lot with this two bumper stickers on. We knew they had to be from our parish because they were both Catholic bumper stickers.
Well, just related to that, Carrie Donaldson said she was in a, I think it was a Home Depot, I don't remember for sure, but like a Home Depot parking lot, and somebody came up as she was loading things into her car and commented how appropriate, how neat it was that she was promoting the Eucharist. So, dear friends, this is the year. This is the year. Let's evangelize our wonderful Catholic faith, promote the truths of the Catholic Church. Be opposed to anyone who disbelieves what we believe, but do it with love. And go to an apologetics academy. All right.
Are you Patrick McGrid's front man?
Yeah, I am, right. Anything else, Dee?
I think I've covered it all.
So next show should be on time next weekend, God willing. And that will be Catholic Vitamin P. Once again, how many letters?
Ends in T.
Thank you.
Seven letters.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings. Prayer for the United States. God, our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land. Grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.